Howdy, folks. This is Ted Lasso, your favorite optimistic American football coach turned English football coach. And welcome to The Richmond Way, a Ted Lasso rewatch podcast. So grab your biscuits, put on your AFC Richmond scarf, and let's embark on this journey together.
Welcome back to another episode of The Richmond Way. This is this is the third episode of Ted Lasso that we're watching.
If you look up, it's right there.
Yeah.
Episode number 3.
Yeah, 3. The 3. And this is our first episode where we have a guest. If you're watching the video version, she's just below me in the bottom corner here. Hello, Alice.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
And if you are a big Ted Lasso fan, you may know Alice through the Ted Lasso Rocks account. In our pilot episode discussion, we talked about our rocks. Mike's is somewhere because
it's not grabbing.
Yeah, mine's up here somewhere. I don't know if you can see it that well.
Mine's in my booth next to me in here.
Thing is, just go back to our pilot episode if you didn't watch that one. They're in that episode. But follow Alice if you want a chance to win your own. So, yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you, Alice.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Thank you.
Also, if you want, like we talked about biscuits with the boss in our last episode, if you live in the LA area where Alice and I don't know if we want to, Bonnie's hat. There you go. It's Chai Authentic, right?
Oh, chaiauthentic.ca on Instagram. Harpreet is the owner, chef, and she not only makes amazing Ted Lasso style biscuits, but she has her own chai business. So she has pop-up shops. She even did a pop-up shop for the Ted Lasso post crew. So she did a little, Ted Lasso chai and biscuit shop for them.
Nice. Yeah. I think in our last episode, I was trying so hard to remember what the name of it was. And then, of course, after we were done, I was like, oh, here it is. So
how it goes.
In the powers of time, displacement, and everything, in that episode, you'll already see a link for that already in that Biscuits with the Boss episode. By the time you've gotten to this one, unless you're a crazy person and you're listening to these out of order, or this is the first one that you came to, if you go back to that one, that's where you'll find it. But time
travel.
Yeah. So.
Well, they're very
over there before.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because Mike is also a time traveler, and he's a sandwich enthusiast.
Sandwiches and time travel.
As our traveler said.
I'm okay with that.
But yeah, so this episode we're talking about Trent Crim, The Independent, the third episode of season 1. And before we kind of like get into like our general thoughts of it, I'm just going to give a brief kind of rundown synopsis of this episode. So this episode, it opens with Rebecca, and she's she's looking through like the sun trying to find the picture.
She's overjoyed. It opens with ready
Keely,
to go
Keely and Ted in there. So in there she doesn't see it in there. She calls Higgins. Cut to Keely tells Ted that she got the photograph stopped from being put out, and there they go to talk to Rebecca about it. Meanwhile, we have Jamie and the other players still bullying Nate, and Roy asks Ted if he's gonna.
Hey.
Yeah, I just thought you should know that your boy Nathan's been harassed every single day by Jamie and his little side pricks.
Right.
So you know already.
Yep.
So you'll take care of it.
Has any plan thing to do stop it or anything like that? Just says he's not gonna intervene with that at all. So Roy decides to confront Jamie himself, threatening him to stop bullying Nate. Cut to, we also have Rebecca tells Ted that in exchange for stopping the publication of the photos, Ted is going to be interviewed by the independent reporter, Trent Crim. So
dip them in milk.
All of this ensues. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also see that guided by one of the gifts that Ted gives to some of all of the players in here, Roy ends up deciding to take matters in his own hands and goes and confronts Jamie later in the episode. And we also hear a little bit more about the Lasso Way as the episode closes in this one as well too. So what did you guys think of it? You can kind of go open, or Mike likes to do, what is it, a square?
No, you always
suggest instead of a square round sparrow? Robin to, yeah, square sparrow. There you go.
Or just whoever wants to.
Who's eager? Who
wants to go first?
I'll go.
Yes, Alice.
Yeah. So this was, I think, the episode that made me really start to fall in love with the show, because this is the episode that you have all these different pieces starting to interact with one another. You have the Roy and Jamie thing. You have Keeley with Rebecca. And then you even have a little interaction of Roy and Trent, you know, when they're at that little school thing, when he calls them a, you know, you've always been a prick. And which is a great little, you know, what is it called?
Like foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing, mm-hmm. Yes.
Or character building.
Yeah.
Character development.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what you said there too.
If we're wrong.
I think that's the consensus.
I generally do that. Yes.
From like what I've heard from a lot of people is that a lot of people that have like watched the show, like they decided by the time they got to this third one, Trent Crim the Independent, was like, okay. I will continue watching the show. I like what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they got to this and they didn't like it, then they just kind of fell off at that point.
Yeah, I usually give a show 3 to 4 episodes before I'm like, yes or no.
Yeah.
I try to hold judgment.
Yeah.
I think this is definitely a good third episode. It raises the stakes a little bit, and it starts to develop those other relationships, and it just the conflict just goes up a little bit more. And I think with the introduction of Trent.
Yeah. Crunch Trim is like the lead tasso.
Yeah.
Spock with a beard. Yeah. I think that absolutely Spock with a beard. Mirror, mirror, Spock. I think that was a really good introduction for that character. And this episode was very much a good, like, let's just turn everything up a little bit more. And I thought it was really good, like a good rewatch. I'm happy that we are doing this because I get to sit and pay attention to it again and take notes and actually study it. And it's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crent Trim.
Crent Trim.
That's going in the show notes.
Oh, it has to. Yeah.
Why not?
Crent Trim, the group. The non-independent.
You gotta give him. You gotta
the have collective.
Like him with like a buzzed haircut and like a tattoo on his face or something.
Actually, and if you Google outfit. James Lance, there, I think there's like a younger picture of James Lance where he has kind of like a buzz cut. So it's weird after you get used to seeing what like what you're used to him as.
With his
like
flowing mane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except he's from the Dependent, not the Independent.
Sure.
I enjoyed the episode. As I echo what Alice said, it kind of made you like, this is the built to show out what it's going to be here forward, and it all those layers prior the two were set and everyone was in their roles, and you're getting this playing their character instead of getting a sense for their character. You get to see them interact and how they're going to be. Just the foundation was there, and this episode just launched us into the next phase, and it did it well. So I enjoyed it for that point. Plus Roy had so many good lines. It's kind of where I fell in love with Roy was this episode. So
yeah
I love that. Yeah, I think, too,
and I learned a new term called side pricks instead of sidekicks. So I will take that with me forever.
I think that was one of the things too, is like this episode received a lot of positive reviews specifically for character development of both like Jason Sudeikis as Ted and Brett Goldstein as Roy in this episode too. So you can definitely see that. And we'll get more into it later, but this is also the debut of Phoebe that we get in here too. And I was like, holy crap, look how small she is in this.
Yeah, thing. She's so young.
Yeah, just compared to like where I guess we end up with her and by the end of the end of the series, ? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Still don't know if that's actually the end of the show or if it's just the end of a third season and then a huge break. So who knows?
Movie.
But yeah, three mini seasons series. In a movie.
Yeah.
Three season, yeah, mini series.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, I think something I had a thought of was the previous episodes showed us who the characters were individually for the most part, but this episode layered in more of the relationships with each other. Is kind of the idea that I got. We saw more of Roy and, I mean, Roy in general, but also Roy and Jamie. We got Roy and Keeley. We have Keeley and Rebecca. Like, those dynamics that we didn't really get to see a whole lot of before. And that was something I appreciated. Was like, okay, we know who these people are. We're learning more about them now in relation to other people. And that was really cool to see.
Yeah, like, yeah. You start to see, like, these blocks kind of, like, stacking and building on top of each other. And starting to come together from stuff we'll end up recognizing later on.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked how this episode opened. Like, so we kind of talked about this, I think, in the pilot. Like, each season kind of focuses... It's not, like, fully focused on that character, but they're kind of the main thing, like, backbone or spine, I guess, to the narrative of that season. And that season usually starts with a close-up or a... maybe like a one or two shots in of that character in this season is Rebecca. So on this focus with her, the music playing over, and she's like frantically looking through her to see if her like scheme that she had set up with Keegan. But Higgins. I'm going into like a freaking Ren and Stimpy pronunciation of Higgins.
All right. You knew I was going to do that. Come on.
Yeah.
Happy. But
yeah, like. Julie. Yeah. Yeah. I can picture Higgins as the
Stimpy.
The Stimpy. Yeah. In this situation, I can see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, she basically like calls
that show.
Calls him, like, super.
Sherry, call shithead.
Good morning.
There is nothing in the sun about Ted and Keeley. Nothing. Are you in your office?
Of course I am.
Then get up here now.
Upset that there's no photo of Keeley and Ted in the paper there. I just like that as like an opening to this episode too. Like, what did you guys think?
Yeah. The idea that she was up before her alarm, she's very Type A, Boss B, you know, all that stuff, and then shithead in her phone. It's just terrible. You start to go, man, I want to like you, I like you, but then you do stuff like that, and you make me like you less. But yeah, I thought that was a good way of starting it and kind of seeing how that, not the resolution of that in this episode. It opens it and it starts and it closes it. And I like that idea. Mm-hmm. I thought that was good.
Oh, in terms of how the episode opened, is that I loved it. I mean, that song by Elastica is just such a banger. And just to have that energy at the very start of the episode, like, you're just like, you're on that ride with Rebecca. Like, you want to see those photos in the paper too. Like, you're kind of like interested to see what happens.
Yeah. I enjoyed, like, that's also like one of the like the great things about the show is just the soundtrack in general is it knows when to like layer in the music to help bring up the scene too, or to Just to give like the scene like that extra little bit to it, that like if there's nothing playing there, it would maybe like be like a much different scene and play much differently. So just like you said, like adding that Elastica song to it makes that scene slightly more fun and less, I guess, menacing.
Less evil. Or, yeah.
Yeah. Like if you played some like other song there, you could make Rebecca look like a super like villain or whatever to that scene if it was just like scored or like.
Well, this was fun for her. That's what it was. Yeah. My take. This was like so joyous for her. And then it immediately doesn't pay off for her, at least. For us, we get the comedy aspect of it.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's for
it was like the Imperial March. It would be a different story.
We'll eventually see what that. I thought it was, like, once we get to Nelson Road and Ted brings in the biscuits to her there, too. And he tells her like the story there about being left at like that clock tower.
Alan Bradley clock tower up there in Milwaukee. You know they ended up leaving me there all by myself. You know, 3 hours and 42 minutes. You know how I know that?
You were staring at the clock.
I was staring at the clock. That's exactly right. Yeah, bingo. That's a little bit of a mystery puzzle. You figured it out right away. You're sharp cookie.
Ted.
Yep.
For like what was it like three hours?
3 hours, 42 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I liked how subtly kind of like sad that story is, that he's not telling it in a way where like he is making it sound like he was like sad or something that happened. But if
he doesn't want you to feel for him yet, like he's not.
Yeah, well, like, but if you like think about like that story, you're like, geez, you got left for like almost 4 hours somewhere before like someone remembered to come pick you up.
It was a different time back then.
Yeah, I don't know, but I just nice. Yeah, and like Rebecca's even like doing jokes like that. She's like not even like meaning to, but it's like she's like, I'm counting the minutes. He's like exactly, nice. But I like this whole interaction with them there too, because I like he likes how quick like she was to like catch on to like she's like you were staring at the clock the entire time. He's like, yep, you're right. That was a subtle thing there. You caught on right away. You're pretty smart. I liked that whole back and forth there. But yeah, like does anything else like stand out to you guys like in this like first part of the episode, like with anything else that we like see here, like between like that or before we like move on to like the other like scenes that come after this? Anything else like stand out there to you guys at all?
I mean, this episode, just from the opening throughout, it just, well, mainly just the opening, it felt like it was just all about the sun in a way. Like, there's a very, I can't figure out why it's important, but because she's looking at the sun when she opens a curtain, she's got that sun alarm clock, she's looking at sun paper. It's just, there's a lot of sun motif in the beginning there, and I didn't, figure out why. Maybe I'm just overthinking it, which is entirely possible, but
no, it's for a reason. But what is that reason? Is it perhaps dawning of something?
Fergus? No.
Ted versus Rebecca, Dawn of Justice? I don't know.
Nice. Snyder cut.
The lasso cut, yeah.
Nice. But yeah,
could be.
Yeah. Oh, there's the branding joke there too. He's like, "It's sad, but otherwise they get lost."
Mm-hmm.
If I was in Kansas right now, I'd be waiting for a room full of people to stop laughing.
So and then the next thing that we get from here is that we cut to like the coach, office locker room area. And I like this episode too. I like this part of the episode too because, again, it's like later the thing that will end up being, you know, more important as the series goes on, become like very, very important, like part of like the whole show altogether. And it also calls back to a joke, I think, from like the first episode or maybe the second one. I'm already forgetting where some of the stuff was coming from, but like where he like says like I have like a real tough problem hearing people that don't, you know, believe in themselves.
Really bad. You know what's embarrassing even?
Sorry, Nate, I have a real tricky time hearing folks that don't believe in themselves, so I'm gonna ask you real quick again. Do you think this idea will work?
Yeah, I do.
Whoa! Why are you screaming at us, Nate? We're right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then like in this one, he asks Nate there if he's like, you think this idea is good? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, oh, Nate, you're screaming at us. Why are you talking so loud? So I just think this episode in general, like we like said, is that like is kind of one that like brings everybody and keeps them onto it. I think this one is like so chock full of like layered stuff too, is that it really benefits from this rewatch. Because you're like, there's like a joke after joke that you might have not noticed the other one because you're still thinking about that one, or you didn't hear the one after that because you're like, oh wait, that joke was funny. Now I missed that one. Now I have to go back again. So I just like how like layered and just.
I'm just curious. Do you guys watch with the subtitles on? Because that's the way I watch, so I don't miss any of the jokes.
I don't, but maybe I should do that for us doing the rewatch before, like, that reason, like, so that you're not missing, like, any kind of thing there at all. But
yeah.
Depends on who I'm with.
Mm, yeah.
Some of the people I watch things with have to have them on. Other people are like, do not turn them on. I can't do it. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, that I think maybe that's what we're going to do for the next episode.
Well, give it a shot. I usually do it with Star Wars because that way I can actually see people's names. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll forget their names like immediately.
Yeah.
But then I see them and forget them a few seconds later instead of immediately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for the children, we'll put the captions out for that episode.
We'll read for the children. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
what did you guys think of like this whole like the this like interaction in like the locker room with like Nate and Beard and Ted here?
It's at this point in time, like, I know where they go from here obviously, but like I'm trying to think, like, why is he so intent on building Nate up? And that's what I'm thinking, like, trying to figure it out at this point. Like, I know later what happens obviously, but at this moment in the show it's like, why him? Like, which it comes later on in the episode we do find out, but it's just interesting how he honed in on Nate like immediately. It was like, we got to get this guy built up, we got to get him on higher level than what he's doing. And so I was just curious. That's where I'm at this junction in the episode.
I feel like Ted seems like he might seem like he doesn't know what's going on, but I think he's more sharp than he lets on, and I'm sure he could tell that Nate is not high on the totem pole. So I think that's why he takes it upon himself to want to learn his name, get to know him, you know. And Ted has already told Rebecca that, you know, everyone in this building is part of the team. So whether you're the kit man or you're the owner of the company, you are part of the team, and I want you to be part of the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's kind of two-pronged. Like, it's absolutely that. It's because Ted is nice and there's that. And I think it's also that idea of you see potential and you see good in somebody else that other people don't see, and you want to nurture it. And you also, I think it's the writers more so, they just want to break our hearts.
Yeah,
they just want to hurt us without saying we're gonna hurt you with this.
Uh-huh.
Like, we're gonna do all this, and it, you know, because then you're going, oh my god, this is so sweet, this is so wholesome, and they want to hurt you a little bit. Yep. And I think doing this, they're very effective with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
but more so for those reasons that you said.
Yeah. And then this episode, this part too, that what I really liked here too is, Ted kind of makes like the joke about like, maybe I'll just play on. Maybe maybe I like how it falls on me. And then it's like, it's become like one of like
the flattering silhouette.
It's been trying. So, I like this. And he's like, you know how to strut, Nate? And then I like this whole scene, like Ted's doing that, and then Beard joins him, and then you kind of see Nate start to open up out of his shell a little bit there too.
Mm-hmm.
Nate shell. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why.
Nice. Yeah.
Thought his last name was Barton.
No. No, that was a test that Keely did to Roy, because he's like, I don't even know his last name. But
I don't
he did.
Like being tricked.
Yeah.
I don't like being tricked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a phone and a watch.
Rolex and sell it for drug money.
So? I don't need a phone and a watch. Look, I didn't sign up to be your boyfriend's minder, okay? But the new gaffer's trying to make me feel responsible for fucking Nate, whose last name I don't even know.
It's Barnes.
No, it's Shelley.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like being tricked. Not by you, and not by... How do y'all cowboys? My name is Ted Lasso, and I'm from Kansas.
So many good lines in that back and forth with the two of them, too. And you're going,
Yeah.
Did anybody else go, mm-hmm. they're flirting?
Yeah. Yes,
very much so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, the scene after that, Ted, when he's speaking with Keely there too, tells her that her relationship doesn't define her, which I thought that was a cool scene with him. And hopefully something like this is going to probably be something that we talk about too, is like a lot of the time Ted gives advice to people that he doesn't take to heart himself.
Most of
so
them.
Yeah, so
yeah,
do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was interesting, like, not to cut too far ahead, but like just like kind of knowing like what he goes through, like in his own character development through the show, for him to tell that to somebody like this very early on. And but then that's kind of like where he almost gets like stuck himself within that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, sometimes it's easier to give advice to other people than to take your own.
Yeah. Where you're almost like projecting what you would like yourself to do, but you're like, I'll give this advice to somebody else. I just can't listen to it myself, right? Because it's me saying,
I know
it, so it has to be dumb if I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Classic dad mentality.
I mean, this scene, this like whole episode has like so much good in it too. Like when they're also like out on the pitch with during the practice, one of the out there too is like where he's like, if you I think he says something like, if you don't make two laps past me, then you have to do like four more or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's very, you gotta do.
Yeah, it's like very faint, but then he's like, you can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. So it's like this like weird like little thing that he does there. So or was there anything else like between like these scenes between like either like Ted and Keely or like Ted and Nate and Beard, or like out on the pitch during the training, that like caught your eyes or was like highlighted to you guys at all?
The Sam line. I don't know if this happens at this junction where they run Nate's play and then Sam's like, I felt that in my penis.
I felt that one in my penis.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. That's good. Yeah. Hey, Jake.
Yes.
Like, right, caught Sam. Me off guard.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
But it was just, this also led to the other joke where you can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. Then they go to the locker room and it's like, all of y'all beat me except Beard here. What's going on? And then he goes, chess club champs, Indiana State. For those of you who don't know, Indiana's a state, folks. It's just Like, what was that interaction he had with the players? Like, that little clarification made me, like, like laugh in confusion.
Yeah, I thought that that was interesting, too. And, like, you just, you get, it's just, they're, like, being spoon-fed kind of, like, backstory over the, like, the course of the entire series of Beard, like, different, like, layers to him. Because I think there's also something earlier in the episode that I don't think we talked about. There's, like, Ted asks him that if he had a late night or, like, getting late getting home. And he's like, oh, you didn't get home? He's like, nope. So, I don't know if he's already meant to be, so I guess spoiler to people, or if he's already meant to be with Jane at this point, or...
They're probably feeling each other out, like,
or it's just... point. Or this is actually Beard After Hours,
part one.
Part one that we never saw. That off screen.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Beard is a wild man.
Yeah, I assumed, but knowing what we know, that it was just maybe he met Jane for the first time, or he's with her, but Ted doesn't know yet because of how he reacted. Like, oh, I didn't sleep, essentially, and.
Yeah. I just like how they like spoon feed you like the stuff like that about like Beard. I think it's just like layered on top of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. And then like what you were saying, there was Sam like that. I think the reason why that is so funny too is that like you're still kind of like
learning who he is,
the character. So like him even saying something like that feel just. It becomes so funny because you're like, wait, that doesn't seem like something like.
Yeah, Sam, I think they're because they have the initial episode where he actually swears, like in the first episode. Yeah. I can't remember if he does anything in the second episode of note.
Yeah, I almost feel like they're like Sam is maybe the one that they're still trying to.
Right, that's what I'm getting like, at. Trying to suss him out,
figure out the most of like what they end up wanting his character to be, which. They ultimately do find it, and like I said, he ends up becoming one of my favorite characters on it. So I did think that that was great there too. But and then like we get more here with like Colin and Isaac, Nate,
the hazing,
hard time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that like the hazing, the locker room too, and Roy noticing it. Talking to Ted about it. This is also like Ted talks to Beardrew saying like he's going to be the first domino that needs to fall that helps us kind of like went over like the whole.
What's everyone's thoughts on how Ted approached that situation? Just curious.
Oh, about
how he doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to step in. I know he wants Roy to do it, but do you feel like it's would you agree with it? Would you do the same thing? Would you, just a personal question.
I think me personally, I don't know if I could do the same thing. Like I don't know if I would trust someone enough to let them do, you know, to know that they would do the right thing. I'd be a little scared.
I think that was definitely a risky move, but I think that's something we've talked about before is Ted knows people's hearts. And me personally, I would have a hard time not saying something. But I think, you know, like you said, the first domino to fall, I think he sees it three steps ahead and goes, I can come in. I'm the new guy here. I can come in and say all day long, is it going to make a difference? But if one of their own does it, it's going to be more meaningful. And I'm like, because I remember at first when he's like, no, I'm not going to do anything. I was like, Ted, what? He psyched us out, like by not doing something directly.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was interesting to pick Roy of all people.
Right.
Yeah.
Pick the one that says the F-bombs probably more than anybody else. Like, the toughest one. I think it was an interesting choice on his part. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off, you know?
Yeah, nice. Yeah, like, I guess speaking of, like, Beard and Chess and, like, what you were saying, Bonnie, too, it's like Ted is kind of playing, like, four-dimensional chess of like, all right, I need Roy to be the one to fix it, like you're saying, because like if I like you said, if I do it, that's like it's gonna just keep happening. I also like his reasoning though, kind of there too, where he's like, almost like Nate almost has to know to be able to essentially stick up for himself, and if like if other people are doing it for him all the time, then he won't ever do that, which seems almost something maybe like Ted does with like his own son, in that too, because that might be the way that like he like handles anything that anytime that would have happened to. We haven't met Henry yet in the show. We will soon. But I'm assuming that's he probably like does that similarity to that. But like you were all saying, I would also have a hard time kind of being like, I don't want this to get out of hand before somebody else figures out and or needs to do this, or if that person never does like stick up for themselves and just lets it continue happening. So yeah, it definitely would be hard to not like want to try to help out there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
how about you, Mike? Because you asked the question.
Well, in my experience, having managed college students and having had to step in, they just get sneakier about it. They don't listen. They just like, okay, I won't do it in front of him now. So that way when it gets reported, there's no evidence.
Which is kind of what Jamie ends up doing when Roy goes and asks him to not do that. He wait, and then like you see him like looked up and like wait until like Roy's kind of like out of earshot.
You know how you two are always messing with Nate, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it up. Makes me laugh.
I was like, keep doing it. I think it's funny.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what about eating awesome. Butterfingers? Anyone still want to eat Butterfingers?
No.
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 So no one ever saw him do it. But.
people ate them.
That would have to take a lot of talent to be able. I don't want to like get descriptive.
It's not so
that
bad.
I'm just thinking about like how much talent would like to get that into a wrapper for no one to be able to notice that you did that. it's an open wrapper at that point too. Like unless you had, I don't. Do you have like a machine that is sealing?
Well, this was the 70s. So wrappers like were different back there.
Yeah.
60s. Yeah, 70s, I was like, whatever. How old Ted is.
What was it, Caddyshack, the with the payday?
It's not so bad.
Yeah. So that's all I can think of. Like, I think they do like a reference to that maybe in Stranger Things, one of the seasons there too. Like someone does it with a candy bar in that too. But I think that's why I want to eat the. Or no, it wasn't Payday. It was Baby Ruth.
Mm-hmm. One of those two. I can't remember.
It's one that has peanuts in it.
They both have peanuts in it. I think Baby Ruth are just on the inside. Whereas Payday,
Payday is just like strictly,
Peanuts and caramel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Today
it was Baby Ruth.
Bonnie is on the case.
Mm-hmm.
Sloth also, would appreciate. So, like,
Baby Ruth. Yeah, I'm also a fat kid. I don't forget my candy.
There's so much food talk. I mean, this episode we got gingerbread, we got Baby Ruth, we got.
Well, the three of you are probably hungry.
You're killing me. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Then me over here. At that 10 Indian o'clock. Restaurant.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Speaking of like the Butterfinger and the Indian restaurant.
Weird segue. Weird segue.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
Especially with what happens after Ted eats at the Indian restaurant.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah. This is then also where Ted gives all of, like, this gift of all these books out to, like, the different players.
There's some gifts up in y'all's lockers. Your little cubbies up there, so hope you enjoy them.
Thank you. fucking book.
On a team or two. And I think, Alice, you actually like the list of all the books. What were the...
anyone had it.
Oh, yeah, I wrote a couple of them down. So he gives Wrinkle of Time to Roy Kent, Ender's Game to Sam Obasanya, and The Beautiful and the Damned to Jamie Tart.
Nice. This is where we call Coach Beard's book club for them.
Exactly.
To come. Yes. And they have done episodes on each of these three books too, so if you want to get like super in-depth like talk about like how they connect to Ted Lasso and those characters, go check out Coach Beard's book club starring Michaela.
And who else?
Bex, Marita.
Uh-oh.
Shit. Andrea, there you go.
And other friends.
Yeah.
TBD.
The professor and Marianne, and the rest. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's interesting. I mean, it's not too, underscored in this episode. Like they've straight up like spoon feed to you like the how Roy is connected to the character.
Yeah, because they let Roy figure it out because it was hilarious reaction. Yeah.
Although anybody else think he read that book super quick?
Very fast. Very, very fast.
When he's reading it to I'm like, wait, he's already
a wrinkle in time.
Yeah. I was like, did he sit there and read the entire book to her in one sitting?
More importantly, did he go, that's crazy, the whole time, like he did with the...
Although, I liked here, too, where he's like, oh, fuck.
Fuck!
That's a bad word, Uncle Roy.
Oh, mind your own business, Phoebe.
Uncle Roy, you just mind your business. And that, I like that he comes and gives her a kiss after that too. So
that's why she's his favorite idiot.
Yeah. Which I think I kind of cut ahead there, but that's fine. I liked that whole thing, though, like with the books. I think we'll get more with like Ender's Game with Sam later. I know that we get more with Jamie later on, but with his book as well too. But what did you guys think about like this too? Like if you were, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it. Like Bonnie said it really well earlier. It's just like how good Ted is at, like pun intended, I guess, at reading people. In that he's only like maybe known these people for maybe 2-3 weeks at the most, maybe. I think at this point, I don't really know how much time
I think it's
passed.
Really like two,
maybe 1 week.
We're still talking about the loss last week.
Okay, but yeah, it's like
he was like a day before the match the last time.
Yeah, like he's known them for like less than a month, and like he already knows who Roy is enough to be Wrinkle in Time. And he knows who Sam is enough to be like Ender's Game. And then I forgot the name of the book for Jamie because that was the longest one.
Oh, yeah. The Beautiful and the Damned.
Okay. But then, and then somehow at some point, Jamie gets the book back, or maybe he buys it again. I don't know. But we're led to believe that Beard is the one that reads all the books. But
I was pretty sure Ted is
doing a lot of reading too. If he knows enough, like about like what like the characters are like in all of these books, that he's able to then see like how they correlate to these people that he's met maybe like half a month ago. I think that's pretty interesting. Either that, or he's just seen A Wrinkle in Time, the movie, and he's seen Ender's Game, the movie. And I don't know if there's a movie based
The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah, is there a movie based on that? I don't know. I know there's a movie based on the other two. Although it would have been, it would have been funny if Roy's was Ender's Game, seeing as how Brett Goldstein would later go on to work with Harrison Ford in Shrinking. But
yes, there is a Beautiful and the Damned movie from the 20s.
Oh, well, there you go. We had just seen those three.
2009.
That's how he knows. He saw the movie, but read the books, and then they crossed their streams, and like, which book should we get for these kids?
My thinking is Ted breaks them down into these roles in his head and talks to Beard and asks for the suggestions, and Beard picks the books.
I can see that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Now, what book would you guys give me?
Oh my goodness. I don't know enough books, Mark.
This is a book club question, not a question for us.
All right. Coach Beard's Book Club, at us on Twitter, because I refuse to call it anything else, and tell us what book each of us four are.
Yikes. Fear Rising.
I'm excited to see what they suggest.
Fear is Rising.
But, yeah. Mike's is going to be Mike's is going to be a Julia Child's cookbook.
I have one.
There you go. Yeah. But yeah, like the...
I can debone a chicken.
Great.
That's what it's called.
But, I know.
I can use the official term if you want. Starts with the word spatch.
Chula?
No. That's what I know what it is. Speaking. I know what it is.
Oh,
spatchcocking.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of that, Rebecca sets up a one-on-one interview with Trent Crim and Ted, so they can do that. But yeah, I don't know. Like during like when Trent like comes to like practice that they're doing, this is also where we get the ESPYs play that
yeah, I forgot about that part. That's why I was confused later on when he like holds Nate like he's a trophy.
Oh, yeah.
I never understood the reference until I was rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, we'll get to the, we're kind of getting to like the end of the plot stuff, but like there's, I just like Roy's whole thing here about like stepbrothers too. He's like, I thought it was funny.
That was awesome.
Stepbrothers.
No one thinks it's funny.
That true?
Agree to disagree. I found it hilarious. I thought it was funnier than stepbrothers.
Ooh, high praise.
Stepbrothers is hilarious.
He's like that scene with the bed. Hilarious. He's like, now I have to like relayer the what I think is funny and figure out like what is on top now. I was trying to think of if there's like any connection to like stepbrothers specifically for like maybe like why they would have referenced it if anybody had like worked on it, like on the writers or anything like that, other than maybe just Jason Sudeikis being friends with Will Ferrell probably.
My guess would be because like stepbrothers, they're forced to be in the same family and they don't get along at first, him and Jamie.
So thing is, they need to remake Step Brothers.
No, that's perfect. Do not touch it.
Well, just make Step Brothers TOO, and it's Phil Dunster and Brett Goldstein.
You gotta use whatever the British version of Step Brothers is.
And that's the Ted Lasso movie. It's Step Brothers TOO, and it's about Jamie and Roy.
And Roy.
Yeah, living together as stepbrothers.
That was the Amsterdam episode where they go see a windmill.
There you go. Jump away ahead. But
as long as any remake has the scene, and it's the bunk beds are funny, right? We all laugh at that part, yes. But like my favorite scene, I'm just gonna, because it's a funny movie.
Mine's not movie
quality. I recently
quality.
Rewatched it. It's the one with when he's like, what are you doing? I'm burying you. Why that's so funny to me. That is my favorite part. Like, the bunk bed's collapsing, the Catalina wine mixer, like, that's all great and fine. But just that, what are you doing? I'm burying you. Like, it just takes me out every time.
You have to call me Night
As Hawk. Long as any remake has that, I'm good. I'm good.
You yelled he's gonna rape me. I seriously thought he was going to rape me.
I don't know how to segue from that.
You can't.
I don't know how to segue from that.
You hop on and roll around like Job. That's how you segue away from that.
Yeah. Keeley whistles at Roy. And Tony's already trying to talk about this. And I think all three of us.
All of us.
There's
yeah.
four of us. I can count. that
maybe.
Keeley let Roy earlier. And she actually whistles. Although, in retrospect, I think it might have been funny if she yelled the word whistle, too.
Whistle? Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, whistle.
It hadn't come up
but yeah,
yet.
Like, you start again,
Oi,
like,
whistle! That's what that would have sounded like.
Yeah.
That's my Keeley. You're welcome. I'm not doing it again for free.
That was a pretty good Juno Temple.
Hey, thanks.
I can just play it on a loop. Don't worry.
Oh, there you go. I like this whole interaction with Keeley right here, too. So, again, you're like kind of seeing this relationship to build here. And then another relationship that we see build, too, is when Keeley goes in and talks to Rebecca again about, like, the photo and whatnot. And they kind of have, like, their first, like, quote-unquote, like, girl talk that they ends up being, like, a thing for them later on. And one of the things I think is funny there, too, is that like how Keeley notices how very specific the like of a reference that Rebecca
Mallorca
makes to
reference.
Something that happened to her. And she's like, that seems too specific for that to just be like an example that you're making up. So that means that you do have a picture of that and I need you to show it to me.
Well, the press are never awful to men. No one ever pays a fortune for a photo of a naked man on a yacht in Mallorca a week after his divorce.
Whoa, that's like a very specific scenario. Oh my god, that means there's a picture of you naked on a yacht. Can I see it? Is it here? Oh, come on, you wouldn't have said something if you weren't dying to show someone. Please.
I was taken from a helicopter while I was...
It wasn't that I need you to show it to me, it's that you want to show it to me.
And then I was like, wait, why... Well, okay, I guess that kind of answers that. I was going to say, why does Rebecca just randomly... Like, she has it enough... up on her laptop.
It probably
like,
just
she didn't
came
have
out.
To.
I don't know because.
Oh yeah, maybe. But I was gonna be like, she didn't have to look for it that long. Like she either like always has that photo open just in case like this conversation comes up. So she'd be like, all right, I'm gonna show somebody because I want to. It's like Keeley is suggesting, I do just want to show that off. But then I just think it's funny like how like taken aback from it that Keeley is too, and then Becca's reaction to that. And so that's also like Ted. I think Mike, you might have said this in the pilot, or
I say lots of things.
Yeah, you do say a lot of things, and sometimes we have to edit them out.
Usually.
Yeah.
I know,
but
I edit.
It's a good thing that you're editing them. So who's to say
I can leave them in?
I'm gonna edit it out. Yeah. This, come next week. This will be the Mike versus. On a Mike episode where it's just Mike shot the entire episode where it's just him talking to himself the entire edit.
I can't carry this for that long.
But I just R-rated. Like how this whole like conversation that like Keeley and Rebecca have like just this interaction back and forth. What did you guys think of like this whole scene with Keeley and Rebecca?
I loved it. I love seeing them bond, starting to bond, and how, you know, Keeley is starting to break Rebecca down by, like, inserting herself into her life. Like, you know, hey, I'm just going to show up in your office and kick my shoes off and talk your head off until you tell me to leave, and then I'm going to come back tomorrow and do the same thing again. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. I did too. I was like, oh, Keeley's a girl's girl. Like, and the whole idea about what do you do with a tough cookie? You put him in milk. I was like, Keely is the milk here. She is 100% in that scene. And I think Rebecca, my opinion is, we only saw Rebecca like, I'm going to get back at this man by using another man. But she didn't think about being the woman. The collateral damage. I'm going to be hurting another woman in this process who has nothing to do with this. And you see that. And it's brilliant acting on both of their parts. Brilliant, brilliant acting in that scene. But I loved it. I'm like, oh, okay. We're breaking her down a little bit. But I really thought this scene was really important. And I liked that they had it in there. That we saw that little soft side of Rebecca. That we don't get to see a lot. How many girls is she going to show pictures of her, you know, her boobs to? Also, that's funny. And that was great comedic relief as well. But, like, she's not going to show those to Higgins, right? Like, that's weird. You know?
Yeah.
So,
she might have tried, and he was like, no.
Nope. Yeah.
We haven't met her yet in the show, too, but I'm assuming she probably showed Sassy as well.
But Sassy.
Or I can't remember, maybe because maybe I don't know if they've seen each other. I don't know. We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there.
Sassy
is
not shown.
Yeah. Yeah. But then,
I thought it was interesting just from this, my standpoint being different, because I'm not a woman. Not yet a girl, like whatever the song is. I messed that up. I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
There you go.
But I think their interaction, the way Keely, like, I like in Keely to the British Ted, like, they're like the same energy person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way she's talking about it to Rebecca, the pictures, Rebecca's never been talked to that way, I feel, and hasn't been into a long time. And I'm sitting there thinking, maybe it's something rooted from her marriage, like, being told like how to look, way to like what you're like, never looking right, never looking good enough. Mm-hmm. And it just something felt like something was there and subtextually, because the way her reactions, like the acting choices, made it feel like this has never happened to me before. This is weird. I kind of like it because it's very complimentary. Something was popped in my head when I was rewatching. It was like, she's not used to this in a positive way. Like, she likes this. Wasn't expecting it type deal.
Thing I thought of here too is that, like, how sure and self confident Akili is. She also does like a good job paying that forward and trying to help, like, Rebecca essentially feel the same way. Like empowering her and make her feel, you know, like more, I just said the word, more empowered, like, to, because like you just said there too, with like, she had essentially had like all of that like whittled down from her from like her time with Rupert. So essentially Keely's like in here for her to like build that back up and build that self-confidence back up, which we'll see where that goes. But
yeah, as like, and you think about it, you don't see her with a lot of other women. Rebecca, it's a bunch of guys, and having, you know, speaking from personal experience, when you're a girl and you're girl, when you're a woman girl and you're going through a divorce, having your girlfriends with you makes a big difference. And, you know, thankfully mine was never like publicized, you know, in the press and the tabloids and stuff. And you know, I wasn't married to Anthony Stewart Head, but, you know, I didn't. He was always, like, it's a weird, no, the Giles Buffy, no, that's weird. That's weird. He's a great actor. But, yeah, but I think that was something really nice that they put in there. And I thought that, you know, that was nice. It resonated with me differently now than it did a year ago. Yeah.
And with Keely there too, with speaking on that, with to then cut to Ted as he goes to the Indian restaurant with Trent, you see like more of these layers with Ted here too, with like the cab driver from the pilot that invited Ted to come to his restaurant. And he's like, oh, yeah, I came. He's like, I invite everybody I give a ride to. You're the first person. Shut up. So this shows, like, another thing about, like, I don't tell.
David, Al, what are you doing here? Wait, I mean, you invited me, remember? I invite every person who's been in my car.
Oh, hey, Ollie. This is my friend Trent. Trent, this is my buddy Ollie. Please meet you. Congrats. You both just met a cool person.
Right, gentlemen.
Kind of thing of, like, showing who Ted is. And just, like, how, and, like, again, like, while he's there with Trent, he's never had Indian food before, so he doesn't, like, know how it's going to affect his...
Right, he doesn't know what he's getting into.
Intestines, as Trent will write in his article later on about how it's going to wreak havoc on him. But, and it's like, he's like, just give me, like, you know, the spicy, or, like, whatever, like,
your make it how you make it for family.
Thing. Yeah. Make that for me. And then, like, I like the other joke in here too, is like the guy brings more out. He's like, no, usually one plate would be enough, but we know how you Americans like to eat. So I liked that joke in there too. But then you can already see, like, how Ted's, like, chipping away again, like, at Trent here too. Like, Trent had this very specific thing that he was essentially going to try to do. Roy seems at this point to think that, like, he's a douche from something that we
still, we find out why,
like,
later,
at this point. So. Yeah, like, right now we don't know, like, where that's coming from, but we can sit together. And then Trent gets won over by this whole interaction with Ed at this and there's this, like, that whole kind of voiceover that Trent does later on. I'm not gonna, like, read, like, thing, but, like, I like that whole voiceover that he does there, like, set to the score that they have placed there. Well, it's not scored for this, but it's, like, a piece of music for mm-hmm. the place in there, and
that I recognize, like, from shampoo commercials.
But I just like how,
with,
like,
Trent's great hair shampoo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That mane, I'm telling you, that was a note I put. I was like, the fashion sense, the hair. He was real sus at first, but it was hard to be mad. I was like, no, he looks great.
Which, we've made the Superman references here earlier, but the animated series My Adventures with Superman, there at one point, there's a character in a newspaper setting that they're at. That I posted it on our Richmond Way Instagram, like, months ago. But there's an animated character that I'm pretty sure is meant to be Trent Crim, because it looks straight up like James Lance. Like, I don't think James Lance did the voice, but, like, it's Trent Crim. And I just liked that, like, little, like, Warner Brothers does own Ted Lasso, it's on there. So I was like, that's cool that they're, like, kind of, like, referencing very subtly Trent Crim on this Superman animated series. So the show's, like, already, like, how Ted Lasso has, like, worked its way to other pop culture, like, media, stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of cool. And the thing in here too, like, during that conversation, which it has two things in here that Ted says in this episode that are kind of they're underscored, but, like, these kind of bad statements that he makes that, like, he doesn't draw too much attention to, but are just that he, like, because he says something or, like, about, because he's, I think he's talking about the players, but he's talking about, like, without someone believing in you. So I thought that was interesting that, like, the Trent, or maybe, like, he feels like that was something, like, maybe that he had to deal with because of different things out there. But I just thought, like, these, like, kind of subtle kind of scored lines that he says that are kind of more depressing or sad when you think about them in the context, like, a young Ted, like, going, like, with some of this stuff. So I just thought that was interesting there. And then my last note about the episode that I was funny is, like, when Roy does go to the nightclub to confront Jamie, and he makes the whole, like, statement, it's like, I can't tell if that's actually you because I can't see so well at night anymore.
messing with Nate. Now, I don't know which one of you are knighted because I don't see so well at night anymore, but that goes for all of you.
And then he picks up and he's like, Vanilla Ibaka, what a child. And I'm just like, but, I don't know. Was there anything else that kind of, like, stood out to you guys that, like, we didn't cover before we get into, like, the last few things about, like, the episode?
I wanted to just point out the three pub guys, the fans that always drink at the Prince's Head, but they see Ted walk by, and then, you know, one says something to him, someone pretends to, like, want to hit him, and then, you know, Paul, the nice one, is like, hi.
Every time.
Why can't you just, like, I just love, like, being introduced to them every episode, like, as fans.
Yeah. It is an interesting dynamic because of how soccer, like, football hooligans are versus American sports fans. Like, no matter how much you hate the coach here or whatever, I still feel like very rarely would a fan do that in, like, the U.S. Right or wrong, mm-hmm. It's just interesting dynamic.
Not that I can think of. I'm looking over in case I missed anything. But, yeah, I honestly really like that we're seeing this soft – we've already touched on it a little bit, but we're seeing this soft side with Roy, with other people, like with his niece and with Nate. But then we see that, like, oh, he's a softie, but that doesn't mean he's going to be soft with everybody. And I like him going after Jamie. I'm like, Jamie sucks so bad. he sucks so much. And I know why they do that too, but I did like him insulting what he was drinking. I thought that was fun.
Mm.
It's like, take him down a peg or two.
Right.
I know it makes me petty. I don't care. I liked it. I laughed at that.
Sorry.
And I was like, well, vanilla vodka's okay, whatever. But he's not mad at me, so that's what matters.
Yeah.
Tanuki but, Suit Mario yeah. believes you, Bonnie.
Well, listen. I love Tanuki Mario.
I'm all for it. I don't have the Nintendo behind me, but that's what's in it, is Super Mario 3.
Mm-hmm. Tanuki Tanuki's right there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I guess that's it. I really liked that. I just thought that was fun.
The one thing I didn't catch initially that happened in this episode that comes back in season 3 is Ted pointing out Nate being a genius to Trent when he's playing with the dog poop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have that as one of the what are they called again? The foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he calls him a genius before Nate's dad calls him a genius.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was I never caught that and never noticed it until now.
He's stuff about than I'll ever learn, which I thought was another cool mm-hmm. thing about him talking mm-hmm. about there too.
Speaking of Roy, I have a question for you all.
Mm-hmm.
Did he tell his niece to drop kick that ball into Ted's face?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him.
You just say, good girl.
Or is it because he complains to her about Ted when he's with her that she does it for him? Just something I thought of. Like, why would she? They're practicing headers, and she just catches it and punts it into his face.
Yeah,
I don't know. It either one could be true. Like, I can see both of those being true.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then
because Phoebe, she's a little sneak. I think. Mm-hmm. I think she's a little sneak, and I think she would do anything to be on Roy's good side. So I don't put it past her to think of it herself, and I don't put it past her to wait. You know, have listened to Roy.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
One of the other things, to the quotes that I had in her, Alice, you had a good character highlight note, like about this, about like with offense on that dry erase.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's just
Ted, really,
because I hate it.
Yeah, Ted, drawing the whole offensive line just to erase it, just, it's very Ted thing to do. That we were wrong.
And I think it stinks! Get rid of it! Now, you might be wondering, why did I draw all that up there just to erase it? And that is because I believe in symbolic gestures.
As do I.
Whoa!
Yeah.
So... now, as we're starting to close out, the some of like our favorite quotes from the episode. I already kind of talked about like the tricky time hearing people that believe in themselves. Yeah, that one. The one that I always like from the episode, or that always stands out too, is like when Rebecca says, "I spoke to the owner of the sun," and
you spoke to God.
That one always makes me laugh. And then the pass me the ball, pass me the ball. I want the ball. I want the ball. Give me the ball. I would like the ball, please. I want to see you win an Oscar at the ESPYs next year. And so, and then, like, you already kind of hinted at it, but like, we'll eventually actually see Jamie do that. So it's cool that, like, and it's like straight up the same thing. So I just love that part of it too. And then the that's when sports and art combine quote. Already kind of referenced it too with the "I don't need a phone watch" with Roy.
That was a great line. I don't need a phone,
which I thought was
a watch
on an Apple TV show where it's like I don't need a phone and a watch. Apple Watch and iPhone now available. And then the one that I always like here too also is Ted saying congrats, you both cool person to
try, yeah,
and the owner of Indian restaurant. And then
I love that line.
That's one like with Trent saying, "I can't help but root for him."
Mm-hmm.
And was that set out to any of you guys?
Nothing we haven't touched on for me, other than the first and last word being the exact same for this episode.
I love mm-hmm. that.
What was it?
Rebecca says the first and the last words of this episode.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It was kind of like her Wile E. Coyote episode, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
All her crazy schemes, Daffy Duck or not, got foiled.
Nice. Certain quotes.
Great episode. Great. Lead into the future.
Mm-hmm. I love Ted screaming MVP, MVP, MVP. Left leg, woo! Right leg, not as good. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was fun.
And again, we get the Beard saying one line and Ted being like, oh, like, I just want to understand more of that. That's one
he
word.
He's just a man of very little to say.
Yeah. And then there's a pretty good one that Bonnie, that we didn't talk about yet.
Which one?
The funny thing about
coincidence. Oh, yeah. I was like, which one? I thought I touched about all of them. The funny thing about coincidence is sometimes they just happen.
Yeah, I liked that.
It's a better way of saying instead of everything happens for a reason, everything happens.
Yeah.
Same but different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphor.
Same but different.
Oh, and the one other kind of like highlight was the thing with Keely and like where they were like imitating each other, and then he. And, like, after she does imitate Roy, and he's like, oh, that was actually pretty good.
Emroy Kent.
But I like his imitation of Ted though too, because it's like this like very bad like
so
random country esque.
Pow pow.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm Ted Lasso. Yeah, he's doing like the fake like fake guns kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the only other thing in here too, outside of that, this touched on yet, with like the strutting scene, I liked the Sunday Best Services song there, that was playing as they're doing the strutting, and they go all, and then they went the wrong way. I gotta kind of go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if that was, it was scripted in this, but I also want to doubt if that was improvised, and like, because there's just some of the jokes on this where Jason Sakes is like jumped and like bashed his head on the door, and like that mm-hmm. obviously wasn't supposed to. Or like he high fives, and I don't think that. So I think that was also like an improvised thing. So I could see that.
It's possible like they went out there, and yeah, like the set was like gone. And he's like, oh crap! I can't
go back. Go out the elevator. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up for everything that there was in this episode. Unless you guys can think of anything else.
Whistle! Nope. Scared me again.
Yes.
I thought that was coming from behind me. That scared me. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to say before we close out?
Nothing except thanks for being here, Alice.
No, thank you for having me, guys. It was so much fun.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Appreciate you for coming on. You're the first.
Hopefully not only.
Yep. Hopefully not.
Yeah. But yeah, and then again, if people haven't already and they want to get a cool Believe Rock too, just follow the @TedLassoRocks account. You got Alice one right there. Mine's up here. We already covered where Mike's and Bonnie's are. And then
over there.
Yeah. Room. You just follow Alice's accounts on social media. Yeah, it's usually really easy stuff. Like, what was your favorite thing about the scene? Who's your favorite character? You enter that, you tag somebody else in it, you get entered in to win it. And then you get a cool rock that Alice painted a really cool version of the Belief sign on.
And yay.
There you go.
Easy peasy.
But yeah, you can follow Alice @TedLassoRocks. For us, you can just go to richmondwaypod.com. That'll bring you either straight to our YouTube account or to a site that we're building out. And then we're Richmond Way Pod on all of the social media places.
All the things.
All of the places. All of them. But for myself, I'm Mark Vibbert. This over here, if you're watching the video, is Mike. This person kitty corner to me down. Is Bonnie, and then
I'm Roy.
All right, and then this person beneath my video is Alice. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
So until next time, folks, be curious, not judgmental, and keep rewatching. This is Ted Lasso signing off. As the man once said, the harder you work, the luckier you get.